Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Your team has a secret weapon you're not using. It's a key to getting what we call A-plus work instead of C-minus effort. Are you just assigning tasks to whoever is free or matching work with their hitting superpower? I like that. Do you mind if I share a short story with you? I once asked one of my best business analysts that I've ever worked with of all times, named Sean. He pulled together a quick report of the top 10 products. I said to him, this is for a management meeting. No other context included. He nodded and then disappeared. But he came back with this beautiful, complex spreadsheet. You know, the one with the formula so advanced I had to zoom in, you know, twice just to read the titles. I thanked him, walked into the meeting. You know, I'm feeling prepared, ready to go. But the executive asked a great question. They said, great, this looks amazing. So what does this mean for our marketing pitch? Cue the awkward silence. You know, that awkward silence during the Oscar when you need to wrap the speech up. Well, you realize you're holding exactly the wrong thing. Therefore, I spent 10 minutes frantically looking, trying to reverse engineer a narrative from raw data, looking like I wasn't even prepared at all. Look, Sean could have nailed it in one slide. If I had just told him what I needed it for and who it was for, then it actually clicked for me. If you don't share the why, you can't expect the what to actually hit the mark. Point number one, share the why before you share the what. See, begin when you start delegating by explaining the purpose and context behind the task, team members understand the why and shift from the simple compliance to the genuine commitment. This context empowers them to make smarter and better decisions that allow them to innovate on the how because they understand the ultimate goal. I know what you're thinking, family. Well, why is this important? Well, family, this is important because the team members understand the why. They make better decisions in your absence and prioritize more effectively. And this keeps them engaged even when the work becomes tedious. Experiment with these actionable tips. One, tell a customer story. Frame the task around its impact of the user. For example, when we complete this, our customers will be able to do whatever that is, X, Y, and Z. Next one, draw up a map. Use a whiteboard or a quick digital sketch to show where these tasks fits into the overall project timeline as well as workflow. And the last and final one, check for understanding. After explaining, ask the simple question, just to make sure we're aligned, can you tell me in your own words why this task is important for this project's success? I also have some professional advice for you. Never assume the purpose is obvious. See, your unique perspective as a leader gives you context that your team members don't have. Sharing that context first is most crucial. Point number two, be patient and invest the time up front. Okay, I'm going to park here parenthetically, family, because my name is Edward Koch Jr. I have to admit, sometimes I fall short on this, but many times I have success. You know, effective delegation is front loaded. What does that mean? That means that you may need to walk someone through a new process, answer more questions. You may need to double check progress early and often, and it may feel slower in the moment. But this is how you build a team that can eventually run without constant oversight or one of those nasty words that I hope I don't get bleeped for, which is called micromanagement. See, this is important. If you skip the upfront investment, you will spend more time cleaning up mistakes later than delegation of creating a better delegated task, which eventually you could create chaos because you don't have the capacity to help when you are needed. Experiment with these actionable tips. Schedule a dedicated handoff. It looks like this. Block off or schedule 15 to 30 minutes on your calendars for a delegation conversation. This signals its importance and it prevents it from being rushed. Next one, co-create the initial plan. Instead of assigning a task, work with the team member to outline the first few steps together. And the last and final one, frame the collaboration approach. Ooh, I like that one. Let me tell you why I like that one, family. Because when you explicitly state, I want to invest the time to walk through this thoroughly now so you are fully equipped to own it going forward, you set that team up for success or that individual for success as well as yourself. Point number three, encourage questions early, not during the fire drill. You know, I don't know why we don't normalize asking dumb questions early to prevent bigger problems later. I know what it is. My mom would always tell me, and I had some amazing teachers and professors that would say, there's no such thing as a dumb question, but there is such a thing of not asking a question because you may feel dumb. I have you think about that one for a minute. Because see, most people hesitate to ask questions because they think they look unprepared or they don't look intelligent. As a leader, it is your job to normalize asking questions for clarity. Questions asked early lead to smarter execution, and questions asked late often means a lot of rework and your reputation at risk. This is important because unasked questions leads to assumptions, and assumptions leads to risk. By encouraging early clarification, you ensure alignment, and we have an opportunity to mitigate risk before they actually escalate. And this prevents one of the things in life we can never get back, which is time. So experiment with these actionable tips. Normalize uncertainty. Say something like, I've just given you a lot of information. I expect you'll have questions as you start to dig into the information. Let's make sure we address them early. Next one, schedule a question check-in. This is just a quick debrief, family, meaning that we're going to do a quick 10-minute check-in on the following day with the sole agenda. This is the only thing we're going to talk about is answering your questions that have come up from what you've learned. And the last and final one, pause and prompt. After explaining a task, deliberately pause and ask, what is unclear? Basically, what I'm trying to do is we want to understand what question do you have for me right now? Here's some professional advice I like to add to that. A question asked at the start of a task is a sign of diligence. The same question asked at the end, we might have a problem, Houston. So your job is to create psychological safety that fosters the former. Point number four, don't confuse delegation with training. Man, oh man. If you don't know anything about this, I've seen this happen so much in my career where delegation is assigning responsibility for a task for someone who has the foundational skills to complete it. But training is the process of teaching those skills. Assigning a task to someone who is fundamentally unqualified is not delegating. It's just setting them up for failure. This is important. Let me explain why this is important for me, because confusing these two activities, you know, training and delegation, leads to frustration, not just even for the person you delegate the information to, it leads to frustration for you as well. See, team members feel overwhelmed and incompetent while you become frustrated by missed deadlines and poor quality work. And it erodes the trust between you and that individual or you and that team, which leads to damaged morale. So experiment with these actionable tips. Conduct a quick skills check. That means before assigning a task, ask, have you ever worked with whatever is the key process tool or whatever that is before? And how confident are you? Now, I have to park here real quick because I want to make something that's crystal clear. I believe a lot of jobs are trainable. What do you mean by that? I believe that at different organizations that you may work in or projects you take on, if you have the set of soft skills, in my opinion, is being coachable. Soft skills, in my opinion, is having the ability to want to learn, and you are a lifetime learner. Now, the actual thing that you will be doing, that is something that we can get training on. That is something that we can find an expert to really coach and guide you in that. So this is why I said coaching and a lifelong learner is huge, because the job itself could be done differently at different organizations. I always use the concept of if I had a piece of paper and you had a piece of paper and you took the piece of paper and walked it and put it in a garbage can and I took the piece of paper and I threw it into the garbage can, we both achieved the same outcome if we got it into the garbage can. So again, we want to just do a quick skills check to make sure. And the next one, separate the learning from the doing. If a skill gap exists, create a separate training step. Let's have you complete this tutorial on, you know, whatever the day, let's say it's a Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever. And then we start the task itself on the next day after they go through the training. Because what we don't want to do is put someone through training and then not allow them to use those skills that they've learned in the training and apply it. I see this a lot that happens where you can go for training and then you don't take the skills that you learn in the training and apply it into the job functionality that you're actually in. Here's the last and final one. Label development opportunities. This basically means if you are intentionally delegating for growth, state it clearly and build in extra time for resource as well as support. Point number five, you know this was coming because you know the motto here, documentation beats what? Documentation would always be conversation, but point number five is document and systematize common tasks. Tasks you delegate repeatedly, like, you know, your status reports, your onboarding, data pool, should have a repeatable, documented process. As systems save time, it also increases consistency and makes delegations easier for everyone. Why is this important? Because documentation ensures quality and consistency regardless of who performs the task. It reduces your personal workload and eliminates the bottlenecks and empowers, I'll say that again, empowers your team members to act with confidence because they have a clear guide to follow. Experiment with these actionable tips. Let the learner document. You know, when you have a first person that is delegated a task and they write the documentation, Do you know that they have a better understanding of the actual task that they're doing? And this creates an asset that simultaneously helps them grow. They actually are able to absorb the information. Next one, use a mix of media. See, for me, I know we always talk about, well, what type of learner are you? You know, are you an audio? Are you, you know, visual? For me, I'm a combination of all of them put together. But when you use checklists for processes, you can use screen recordings for software-based tasks and pre-filled templates for reports. Just don't get caught up in just one way of medium to actually deliver information. And the last and final one, create a central hub. Store all documentation in a shared, easable, accessible location, like, you know, if you create a wiki, SharePoint, Asana is a good tool for documentation repository. Microsoft is another, well, SharePoint we talked about, and just a typical share drive. And you need to review that periodically because there's going to be some things that you want to make sure you keep that clean. Because if someone goes in there looking for something, if it's not relevant anymore, we need to archive it. The key word is archive it, don't delete it. So we could make sure the team can go in there and find what they need. Point number six, publicly back your team's decision. When you delegate authority, you must also provide a shield. This means standing by your team members' decisions publicly, even if you would have chosen a slightly different path. I love what one of my mentors shared with me. He said, when someone on his team makes a decision and he backs them publicly and it doesn't go the way that it's supposed to go, he wants to know what was the process of how that person got there. What was the process behind that decision? And that is important, family, because when you understand someone's process of how they got to the decision, you can help them course correct the next time. So anyway, going back to what we're talking about, overruling them, especially in front of others, this destroys their confidence. I don't care how confident you are. If you are constantly showing up your direct reports, or if you're constantly showing up your project team, this destroys their confidence, and eventually they're going to undermine your authority. It's not going to make the project successful. This is important. If team members feel being publicly overruled, they'll stop making decisions. They will become overly cautious, escalate every minor issue back to you, and defeating the entire purpose of delegation. Public support builds the trust required for true ownership. Experiment with these actionable tips. Adopt a we language. I love what they asked Michael Jordan. They were talking and they said, you know, there's no I in team, but he said there's a me, but you'll catch that later. But the point being is that when we start talking at we, when a decision is questioned by outsiders, respond with, "We decided to proceed this way because this presents a united front." I've seen project managers they'll say, "Well, you know, John is the one that made this decision." And I'm just shaking my head. I said, pretty soon their project is going to have, you know, ebbs and flows that it wouldn't have had to have, because now John is going to be thinking something different of that particular project manager. Anytime a decision is made on my team that I'm leading, I say we made the decision to proceed in this particular way. Next one, coach in private. If you disagree with a choice or a decision, discuss it one-on-one as a coaching opportunity for the next time. Never reprimand them publicly. And the last and final one, give them the floor in meetings where there is work to be discussed. Let it be done. Want to present it and then answer questions, reinforcing their ownerships. I always see sometimes that you'll see project managers want to step in and answer these particular questions because they want to show, yeah, I got it. But this is what we have a team for. We want to ensure that team is having the success and they're getting the light, because when they are successful, guess what? Ding, ding. So I say all that to say, we want to be able to allow them to answer those questions. Now, if they get stuck, you want to be able to come in and shield them, to help them put, you know, get through the particular answering of that question. All right, let's move on. Point number 7, delegate proactively, not just when you're overwhelmed. See, the best delegation happens before you're busy. It's strategic. It's not reactionary. Waiting until you're overwhelmed leads to a very poor handoff and incomplete instruction, and often is a lack of trust on both sides. Why is this important? Because proactive delegation builds teams' capability and morale. Reactive, what we call just here you go, creates a resentment and anxiety. See, the former is a sign of great leadership by helping individuals and people succeed. The latter is a sign of poor planning and drowning in their own tasks. So experiment with these actionable tips. Make it a weekly habit. As part of your weekly planning, identify at least one task to delegate as a development opportunity, not just because you're busy. And the next one, delegate the good stuff. Make a point to delegate high visibility, interesting, and creative tasks, not just administrative or tedious work. And the last and final one, systematize and hand off. Identify reoccurring reports or processes you still own and document them and delegate them permanently. Point number 8, hand tasks to strengths, not availability. This is a good episode. I hope you're enjoying yourself as much as I am, because a lot of times what we do is it's tempting to assign work to whoever has the capacity on the surface, but that can backfire. Just because someone has free time doesn't mean they are the best fit. The right task to the right talent leads to a better outcome and happier teams. This is important because aligning tasks with strength produces superior results in less time and significantly more engaging and rewarding for employees. It leverages the unique, what I like to call, genius zone. See, on your team, instead of treating everyone as an interchangeable type piece. So experiment with these actionable tips. Know your team's strengths. Keep an informal map of who excels as what. And what is the data wizard, the creative storyteller, and the detailed planner? The next one, delegate with praise when assigning the task, explicitly connected to their strength, giving them an opportunity to have that amazing success as they're analyzing complex data. And the last and final one, load balance for strength. If you're the best person for a task, if your best person for a task is busy, ask, this task is perfect for your skills. What can we move off your plate so you can focus on that? Well, family, we just really kind of talked about going from a project manager to a project leader. Let's be clear. Delegation is not about clearing your plate. It's about building a bigger table. As project managers, we must master managing constraints. You know those constraints, the triple constraints: time, budget, scope, and quality. But the most critical resources we manage is human potential. Every task you hold on to because it's faster if I do it is a debt you're taking out against your own team growth and your project future resilience. So my challenge to you, look for opportunity to empower. Find one task, explain the why with passion, and give it to a person whose strength will make it shine. Because managing tasks makes you a project manager. Building capability makes you a leader. That is the most important project you will ever run. Well, family, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, that just simply means it. Until next time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.